begin this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord. Make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. In the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated as our service now continues.
The Old Testament reading this morning comes to us from Malachi, chapter 3, reading from verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings and righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as it is in the days of old and after former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, how shall we return? Our second lesson comes from Philippians chapter 1, beginning of verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you, all because I hold you in my heart, and for you are all partakers of me, of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with the knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, fulfilled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Please stand for the reading of God's word.
The gospel lesson for the second Sunday in Advent tells us about John the Baptist, who preached the message of repentance, which included both sorrow for sins and faith in the forgiveness of our sins. It's found in the book of St. Luke, the third chapter. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the regions around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Jesus said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What shall we then do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for a message. Now, for children, as they come forward, please. I guess it's song. Let's sing the song, I guess.
Jesus, Messiah.
there, because the food there is probably fantastic. It's our little secret, that place that we go to where you can't believe how good the food is, even though you look on the outside and think it's not that really appealing. Or you look even on the inside, maybe even the inside doesn't look all that great, but we go there anyway. I remember when I was in seminary, we used to have this place, the Chinese Express, that we would go to right up the road. It did not look very good. It did not look all that inviting. And when you went in, they had boxes everywhere. And apparently they didn't know how to store anything. And so they just had boxes everywhere. At one point in time, some of the boxes actually caught on fire. Because apparently hot flames and boxes don't go together. They still had the burn marks on some of the wall. Best Chinese food ever. It was great. But we all have it. We all have that place that we just love going to, even though it maybe doesn't look all that fantastic. We love our little restaurants. We love our little places that surprise us. We love our places that no one else would consider because it seems so out of character, so out of place. In Holy Scripture, God has a way of doing that as well. He chooses things that no one else would choose to do His will. He chooses a land that is small to take on what is mighty. He chooses a place and a time that doesn't seem to make any sense, but yet it works for His will in His way. He chooses little and young David to take on the mighty and powerful Goliath. He chooses a man that seems for all intents and purposes to be crazy, to be outlandish, a person who is standing in the one place that seems to be the worst place to carry a message that is so important for all people to hear. John the Baptist was that wild and crazy messenger of God. We know from the other Gospels that he wore clothes that most people wouldn't wear, that he ate things that, we'll just say, wouldn't normally be on a menu of that restaurant you were just thinking of. He did those things. But he also did it in the strangest place. When you think of a message getting out, when you think of trying to proclaim a message and wanting everybody to hear that message, you probably would think of a prime location. You'd probably think of something like a city or a place that has hotels or restaurants or at least some type of a theater, something that people can gather at. But when it comes to John the Baptist, you find him in a desert. No hotels, no restaurants, no city, not really a lot of people. People come to him, though. They travel through the desert. They travel through the valley and the canyons and the hills and so on. They travel down the canyon to see the man who acts so strange. Now, I've shown this picture before. There it is. I've shown this picture before. This is one of the slideshows from the Holy Land. This is a picture basically on the path from Jerusalem to the Jordan River. Notice the hills. Notice the canyons. Notice the lowlands. Now, John the Baptist would have been a little bit closer to the Jordan River, so it would have been a little bit flatter than this. But this is the trail. This is the path. This is roughly where he would be. As we read again those words from John the Baptist, as we read those words quoted in Isaiah, think of this. The people came out to him. They came to the path. They came to hear words, but they weren't normal words. They weren't normal words at all. He doesn't rejoice in their presence. He doesn't promise them all kinds of things and tell them that if they follow his easy five-step program, they could be wealthy or something else. Nor does he tell them about all the good things that they are doing or how well they are following the law of God. No, instead, John tells them that they're not following God's law good enough. They are making mistakes. They are sinning, sometimes intentionally. Our author, Luke, quotes Isaiah for us and says, "When the paths will be made straight, the valleys will be lifted up, the mountains and hills will be brought low." When we read this Isaiah passage about the paths, about paths in general, how exactly is John here making them straight? Looking at the word of John, though, you can kind of see it. You get a glimpse of it, if you will. We see how he is making straight the path. He is making ultimately all things equal. That is, he is calling out sin on all people, whether they come from places of high birth or low birth. It doesn't matter. They are all sinners. They all fall short. They all need to repent. The path is straight. They need a Messiah. And that is who is coming. Last week, the text was the triumphant entry of Jesus. We highlighted about how all the people rejoicing that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem kind of got it wrong. You know, they were looking for a king, and Jesus certainly was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but they were looking for a temporal king to take over Jerusalem. They had kind of misunderstood things a little bit. But in today's text, looking at John the Baptist, there's no mistake as to what John is looking for. He was making a path for someone who was going to deal with sin through repentance. Even his baptism, which is an odd baptism. Baptism was usually reserved for Gentiles that wanted to become Jews. But John here is baptizing Jews in the middle of the desert. But even this baptism that John gave pointed to the forgiveness of sins and repentance. This is what he was looking for with the coming of Messiah. The coming of the Lamb of God, the coming of Christ. It is also certainly what he received. Now our text doesn't go that far. It doesn't go all the way to the coming of Christ, to John the Baptist, but we know how it goes. We've read the other accounts of the other Gospels and the baptism of Jesus. We know of the work which Christ did. Christ in his ministry did not just go around telling people all the things that they wanted to hear. Nor were his words always kind, yet they were always true. They were always done to bring about repentance and faith. When Christ died on the cross, he took upon himself the sins of the whole world. He paid the price for all of them, every single one. Knowing that Christ paid the price for the sins of the world impacts not just us, but all people of all times, which is why we maintain this message. We as Christians also call for repentance and faith. In repentance, we turn to God in faith, and in faith we are given mercy through Jesus Christ and the work which he has done for us. The message itself, though, might seem a little odd. We might expect a task, something to do, some great event to complete, some work to be done. We might expect earthly rewards for this or that or the next thing, but we don't get it. Because we have been sent to proclaim a message. An odd message, but a message from God all the same. It's almost like a man sent to the desert to proclaim a message to people. Yet as odd of a message as it is a message that needs to be carried. But not just to the desert. We can carry our message out to anyone at any time. We can carry our message out to those we've only seen once or only seen once. Are those we see over and over again every single day. We can carry our message until our Savior, our Messiah, returns. We carry it out because it truly is the message that needs to be heard. The message that Jesus loves you. That Jesus died for you. That in the repentance of your sins and the faith in Jesus Christ, we have salvation. We have salvation in the one who did this most awesome work. Paying the price for our salvation, for our eternal life. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand and pray with me as we confess our sins to God our Father. O Almighty God, Heavenly Father, come to you this day, Lord, because we know we have failed in so many ways. We have sinned in our thoughts, our words, our deeds. We come to you this day for mercy. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask you to forgive our sins. Hear us now, Lord, as we confess our sins to you in a moment of silence. Thank you. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you and for his sake to forgive you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and it was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated as our service now continues with our gifts and our offerings. If you can find that book of prayers found on the side by the aisles, we'll sign that. Thank you. again after supper, he took the cup, and he gave him thanks, he gave it to him, and drink with all of you. This cup is New Testament of my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me. You may now be seated in the service of the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.